Okay, hi, welcome to Seeking Truth tonight. Last year at this time, we had two new saints, Romero and Paul VI. Tonight, we have five new saints as of Sunday, October 13th. We have five new saints in the Catholic Church. They all have their own banner hanging on the Vatican at St. Peter's. Pope Francis canonized five new saints on Sunday. There was a holy mass and canonization of five new blesseds. Very exciting, a very festive mass. And 50,000 people from around the continent were there from all different nations. And the Pope said, "Today we give thanks to the Lord for our new saints. They walked by faith, and now we invoke their intercession. They can pray for us from the throne room of heaven." One of the biggies is Cardinal Newman. Yes, Cardinal John Newman. Prince Charles, the future head of the Church of England, led the British delegation to honor Newman, John Henry Newman, a 19th century Anglican theologian who went on to become one of the Catholic Church's leading thinkers. Born in 1801, Newman attempted to renew the Anglican Church before becoming convinced that Catholicism was the only true faith. He converted to Roman Catholicism at age 44 and wrote many, many, many wonderful things. He rose through the hierarchy, priesthood, bishop, cardinal, made a cardinal in 1879 by Pope Leo XIII. Now we have Newman Centers, the JP2, Newman Center at UNO, Newman Centers, Newman Houses, Newman Clubs, named after him. They're Roman Catholic ministry centers at non-Catholic universities found throughout the entire world. The establishment of this movement was inspired by the writings of Cardinal John Henry Newman, who encouraged societies for Catholic students attending secular universities. The first Newman Club was established in 1888 at No Slouch, Oxford University in England. Newman was a complex and subtle thinker who refused to see issues in black and white. He was both radical and conservative in his attitudes. That's super hard. That's super hard to be that way, both radical and conservative. This is from Kerr, who told National Catholic Register that he would have backed the reformers at Vatican II, but he also would have anticipated how they would later divide into moderate and extreme factions. Although he certainly believed in objective truth, he also saw how people saw proofs differently, and in a way which remains relevant to current debates on atheism, scientific reductionism, and postmodernism. So he was really a wonderful communicator. He had two approved miracles by the Vatican, carefully researched. The first was an American man from Boston, Massachusetts, with a debilitating spine disorder, who claimed in 2001 he could suddenly walk again after praying for intercession from the British Cardinal Newman. The second miracle was an inexplicable healing of a woman with a very life-threatening pregnancy. So we have a new saint, John Henry Newman, Cardinal John Henry Newman, and four new women saints. Three of them are religious, and one is a laywoman. I'll tell you a little bit about each one. The first, Mother Miriam Teresia Mankidian. She is an Indian mystic. She died in 1926. Mother Miriam, many people were there from India to welcome the new saint. The founder of the Congregation of the Sisters of the Holy Family in Kerala, India. The second woman, Sister Mother Giuseppina Vanini, she died in 1911. She's another foundress of an order, Daughters of Saint Camillus, the first Roman woman canonized in 400 years. So that was exciting in Italy. The main legacy of this founder she left her sisters with was a pure and simple physical and spiritual care for the sick. She had a real heart for that. She had hospitals and leprosariums, nursing homes, both in Europe, rehabilitation centers, and in mission countries. The next woman is a laywoman. She's a 19th century Swiss laywoman. Marguerite Bays is her name. Born in 1815, a humble laywoman with a farming background, dedicated herself totally to God. She worked as a seamstress, domestic help, farmhand. She was known in the region for helping the poor, domestic servants, and orphans. at age 15, they all thought, you've got to be a nun, you've got to be a nun. But she said, no, I want to be a seamstress. And she was. She was a wonderful seamstress. Pope John, when he made her blessed, he said, she's a very simple woman with an ordinary life in whom each of us can find ourselves. She did not achieve anything extraordinary, and yet her existence was a long, silent march in the way of holiness. This is her bedroom. She underwent surgery for bowel cancer in 1853. She prayed to the Virgin Mary to heal her. Marguerite offered to swap her disease of bowel cancer for the pains experienced by Jesus Christ, and she was blessed with the stigmata for the next 19 years. She got cured of bowel cancer, and she got the wounds of Jesus Christ, just as she prayed. Every Friday, she would be immobilized in ecstasy, and she relieved the suffering in her body and her mind in those times in ecstasy. So for 19 years, she had stigmata and died in June of 1879. One of her miracles was that after her death, very carefully researched, the Vatican approved a miracle attributed to her intercession. A 2-year-old child completely healed after being run over by an 1,800-pound tractor tire. They gave the baby, they invoked Marguerite Bayes to take the girl to the hospital in France, which she did. 3 days of observation, nothing. The little girl had not the slightest cracked rib, no hematomas, only very superficial scratches. So that had a lot of research, 15 years of testimonies and doctors involved. The last woman, Sister Dulce Lopez Pontes, she died in 1992, so she's a contemporary of ours, the first woman born in Brazil to become a saint. She is known as Saint Dulce of the Poor. She cared for the poorest of the poor in her convent's chicken yard in Salvador, Bahia. She loved the poor. She was called the Good Angel of Bahia. She loved children. She loved the sick. They were facing a big problem. She was already taking care of 70 people when she turned to Mother Superior of her convent and asked permission, could she please use the chicken yard as an improvised hostel to care for these 70 people she had under her wings. Mother Superior agreed reluctantly. She said as long as Sister Dulce would still take care of the chickens, that she could also take care of the people. And boy, did she ever take care of those chickens. She sure did. She took very good care of the chickens, and she made a lot of chicken noodle soup for her patients while she cared for both people and chickens. This is her hospital. She improvised the chicken coop and built it out into a hospital where she cared for the sickest and poorest of the poor. Kind of a Mother Teresa-like figure in Brazil, taking in anyone, caring for them as best she could. And on February 8th of 1983, the new St. Anthony Hospital was opened, which the people of Bahia considered another miracle of Irma Dulce. More than 3,000 people visit that site every day, and they still can come there to receive free medical treatment. It is said that she almost single-handedly created one of the largest and most respected philanthropic organizations in all Brazil. Now, tonight, today, October 17th, in 1979, Mother Teresa was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for recognition of her work in bringing help to suffering humanity. It was tonight, October 17th, when she said her acceptance speech. It has been 40 years exactly today. And so I wanted to honor Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was an inspiration to this nun in Brazil. They had the chance to meet in 1979. Sister took this great opportunity to meet when she came to Salvador. Exactly 1 year later, she got to meet another hero of hers, Pope John Paul II. She later received 2 more personal audiences with Pope John Paul II. And she too was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1988. She was not awarded the prize, and you might see why after I show you something. She was visited in the hospital by Pope John Paul before her death, and he called her an example for humanity. On March 13th, 1992, she passed away. She is still remembered for her great holiness. She was carried on a fire truck with an honor guard of cadets from the military police with a procession over 6 kilometers long. She was buried at the Immaculate Conception in Salvador Bahia in this church, and when they exhumed her body before sainting her, they found that she was naturally incorrupt. So she is an incorruptible, one of the incorrupt saints. After 18 years, her body was perfectly preserved when they opened the coffin. The nun is known as the Good Angel of Bahia, the Mother of the Poor. She will become the first Brazilian saint, and her canonization is the third fastest in history, only 27 years after dying. Mother Teresa was 19 years after she died. She was canonized. She's second swiftest, and John Paul II was the quickest saint 9 years after his death. The people wanted him to be a saint, the great. So saints make saints. You've heard that before. It's like Proverbs 27:17 that tells us, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Saints make saints. You want to hang out with saints, okay? Mother Teresa refused the noble honor of the banquet. She said no, but she did take the $192,000 of prize money because she said, I will use it to help the poor in India. She said, this is a prize, and it is a prize, a gift to the poor. The poor must know that we love them, she said. As more reporters and television crews descended on her headquarters to try to interview her, she told the other nuns, I'm going to go hide somewhere. She had had enough paparazzi, enough publicity. But today, on October 17th in 1979, Mother Teresa was awarded that Nobel Peace Prize for her humanitarian work for the poor. It's exactly 40 years ago today in 1979, October 17th, and I'm playing for you 4 minutes of her acceptance speech. It's a 20-minute speech. You can find it online, but I'm going to show you 4 minutes, and this may be why the other nun didn't get the award, okay?
The greatest destroyer of peace today is the cry of the innocent unborn child. If a mother can murder her own child in her own womb, what is left for you and for me to kill each other? Even in the scripture, it is written, even if mother could forget her child, I will not forget you. I have carved you in the palm of my hand. Even if mother could forget, but today millions of unborn children have been killed. And we say nothing. In the newspapers, you read numbers of this one, that one being killed, this being destroyed. But nobody speaks of the millions of little ones who have been conceived with the same life as you and I, to the life of God. And we say nothing. We are dying. To me, the nations who have legalized abortion, they are the poorest nation. They are afraid of the little one. They are afraid of the unborn child. And the child must die because they don't want to kill one more child. To educate one more child, the child must die. And here I ask you, in the name of these little ones, for it was that unborn child that recognized the presence of Jesus when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, her cousin. As we read in the Gospel, the moment Mary came into the house, the little one in the womb of his mother leaped with joy, recognized the Prince of Peace. And so today, let us here make a strong resolution. We are going to save every little child, every unborn child, give them a chance to be born. And what we are doing, we are fighting abortion by adoption. And the good God has blessed the work so beautifully that we have saved thousands of children, and thousands of children have found a home where they are loved, they are wanted, they are cared. We have brought so much joy in the homes that there was not a child. And so today I ask, since His Majesty is here, and before you all, who come from different countries, let us all pray that we have the courage to stand by the unborn child and give the child an opportunity to love and to be loved. And I think with God's grace, we will be able to bring peace in the world.
Not quite what they were expecting her to say. She used the time as she had a national, international platform, and she spoke for life. Very courageous, full of the Holy Spirit, her boldness. So let's go now and study our chapter, and we'll see you back soon. God bless you.